Welcome to the MedTech Talent Lab, the number one catalyst for advancing careers and building high-performance teams. Sponsored by the Anthony Michael Group, helping companies secure in-demand talent in regulatory affairs, quality, clinical, engineering, R&D, and other areas for medical device, digital health, diagnostics, and other organizations across the U.S. life sciences sector. Here's your host, Mitch Robbins.
All right, welcome back to another episode here on the MedTech Talent Lab podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Robbins, and I have the pleasure today of being joined by Miss Allie Patterson. Now, Allie is a talent acquisition professional in her own right, having a diverse background, having worked in recruitment across a variety of industries like manufacturing, medtech, aerospace, renewable energy, and I think at one point or another, real estate as well. Allie simultaneously operates a business providing freelance work within her organization called Elevate and Bloom Consulting, where she provides recruitment services, training services, and marketing consulting services to a variety of non-profit organizations. I think today we're going to hear a little bit more about that and then really kind of dig into what's going on in her world as a talent acquisition professional on the hunt actively for a new role. So without further ado, Allie, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, Mitch, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure being on the show. When you reached out, I was very excited. And so from the South, I have a little bit of accent. That's what we do. So if you hear that coming through, that's it, you know, that's just me. But I do have, you know, quite a bit of experience. So 6 years talent acquisition experience, both in the marketing and TA space. And I like bringing that to the table because it helps differentiate us as the organization to, you know, the candidate experience and really being able to relate to the candidate with a storytelling that aligns with the company's mission and what they're looking for to hire, train, retain, and keep that talent long term.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to dig into these details with you today. Talk about, if you would, real quick, to Elevate and Bloom Consulting. That is your business and you do freelance work from there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I do freelance work through it. It's owned by myself. It's an LLC based out of Georgia. So elevateandbloom.org. If you're interested in checking it out, we'd love to help you.
And what, and it's a variety of different services, but specifically for nonprofits, correct?
It is. My heart belongs to the nonprofit space. I love helping people even if they're not able to help me back. And so I work with nonprofit organizations to really develop and retain their best people and top talent really long term. And I also do recruitment strategies to help if they're struggling with, you know, the marketing or recruiting part. That's where I step in. And I really elevate them to where they need to be and maintain that level.
Awesome. And how did you get into recruiting in the first place? Everybody's got their own unique story.
You know, that is a funny story. And so I'll keep it short and sweet because it is quite a bit personal. But I was, when I was 22, I was hit by a drunk driver. And it was very tragic and it affected my family deeply. I'm not going to get into details because it's kind of, you know, it's hard to talk about, but on my end, I'm an orthopedic recipient myself. And so my collarbone was completely shattered from the impact. It was 85 plus miles per hour head on. The fact that my family and I survived, and there were a few other things, again, it's personal, I don't want to talk about, but my collarbone was completely down to my belly button. It was insane. It was painful. I'd never broken a bone before. And so here comes So this is a bracket. This is something that I had placed. This is not the original one, by the way, but this is what it looks like. I have a donor bone, a steel bracket, and 6 screws holding together my shoulder. And if you look at it, it's completely symmetrical. So I had an amazing surgeon. I've had a couple surgeries. I need to do another one coming soon because the donor bone isn't doing quite so well. But this is my passion. This is my why, because in the med device industry, we impact our patient's life. Otherwise, in every single point, whether you're on the payroll or your operations, if you're the executive, every person makes a difference. And I want to make sure that whatever we do, we make an impact and we continue making that impact. I don't care about the revenue. I just want to make sure that we continue impacting people moving forward with our patients and improving their lives on the daily.
That's amazing.
So
yeah, what a story. But you mentioned kind of that happened. How did you get into a recruiting role?
Oh, well, most of us don't go to school for recruiting. I was working on my bachelor's degree, and I was picked up by, I was working for a real estate agency at that time, Remax rather, and I was their creative marketing and recruiting manager. And I absolutely love blending the two together, because if you combine the two, it is a match made in heaven. And so being able to bring that forward, I was able to connect with a job posting. When I entered renewable energy, I was promoted from junior recruiter to senior recruiter over the solar energy space very, very quickly. And I fell in love with it. And talent acquisition is near and dear to my heart, because you get to align talent with passion. You find people who are absolutely excited about what they do, and you plug them into those positions that they're absolutely happy about. And that's my heart. That's the reason why I keep doing and will forever do, you know, talent match passion. This is what I do.
Right on. Right on. Well, it certainly does take a talent and a passion to sometimes put up with what we put up with, as far as when you dealing with people, anything can happen. And I think that goes for some of the garbage, but then also the huge wins of building companies and building careers. Speaking of building careers, you're in transition yourself right now. And I want the audience today to get to learn some insights from what you're doing about your search, because I think you're doing a lot right. And it's a lot of the stuff that we preach about, how in 2024, you can't look for a job the same way that you perhaps have been taught or have, you know, done years past. And we're in a really tough spot right now. There's a lot of people looking for work, and a lot of people kind of lining up like ducks and following the duck in front of them to do the same strategies that just don't work. They just simply don't work. What do I mean by that? I mean, applying online and hoping that you're going to hear back, tapping your quote unquote referral network and saying that, hey, if you know anybody, can you forward along my resume? Like surface level things like that, they don't work by themselves. Let's put it that way. And when you have a position that, for example, is getting 500 applicants within 24 hours of being posted, how in the world do you expect that your resume and your application is going to just magically somehow rise above the noise? Miraculously getting a call back? And so it's a long way of saying, let's dig in. Where are you at with your own search? How long have you been looking, and what's going on with your current search?
Well, you touched on a point that, you know, is very crucial, is overcoming the noise. They, you know, in this job market 2024, I have not seen this job market since 2008. It's been absolutely insane. You have amazing, talented individuals such as yourselves applying for the exact same positions. And so it is definitely an employer's market. And so I'm 3.5 months going on, nearly 4 months into my next adventure due to a reduction of force as a talent acquisition manager for an amazing organization. And so I'm open to leadership roles across industries where I can really make that impact to drive recruitment, build high-performing teams, and really strengthen the employer branding while enhancing the employment engagement for long-term success. And so you asked about, you know, approaching the market beyond applying online. This is huge. And so I have 3 points that really I think are huge. It comes down to one, and I'll touch on these one by one. So you have networking, you have personal branding, as well as direct outreach. What I've been doing is I have been engaging, and I encourage my job seekers to do this as well, hence this conversation, is really engaging with decision makers and industry leaders across various sectors throughout LinkedIn and virtual events. So networking is huge. Next is personal branding. If you look me up on Ali Patterson on LinkedIn, you'll be able to see that I'm able to really share my knowledge and my expertise through posts and videos on LinkedIn by showcasing my experience and my expertise through talent acquisition and branding across various industries. Next thing I feel like people really kind of overlook is direct outreach. So you want to target companies with tailored strategies, addressing their unique needs and challenges regardless of the industry. You don't want to reach out to the hiring manager saying, hey, you know, this position looks great, you know, pretty please hire me. That's not how it goes. No, you have to make it tailored. You have to apply. You have to make that connection with the hiring manager and a recruiter saying, hey, would love to learn more about this position. I just applied. If you're not the recruiter for this position, please direct me to the person who I need to talk to, and we'll go from there. Absolutely huge.
So you touched on a lot there. You mentioned networking. You mentioned personal branding. And what was the first one that you mentioned?
So the first one, you know, was networking. And then I went into personal branding and following direct outreach.
Oh, and direct outreach, right. Okay. And so one of the reasons I wanted you on the show is because on the regular, you're posting genuinely valuable content for others who are in transition or others who are searching. And you're leveraging your own expertise from the past that you have as a recruiter. And then you are kind of doing what you say and saying what you do while you engaging your own search. Why do you think it's so important? I know why it is, and I've got my own opinions, but I don't want to jade yours. Why do you think it's so important to have personal branding on LinkedIn right now?
Personal in 2024? Branding, that's a very valid question. And it's a loaded question, but very valid. You want to be able to show that you are the SME or a subject matter expert in your field. So I've been toying around with posting videos. Some of them have been hit and miss. But, you know, really the posts and showing this is my expertise. This is how I can help you and really grow your personal brand. What you have on your LinkedIn showcases not just past employers, but, you know, current employers, you know, or potential employers. They look at your LinkedIn and they see the posts that you have. They look at your picture. They look at your headline. They look at the headspace that you have over, you know, the banner. And they really get an idea of who you are as an individual. And personal branding is absolutely essential. And so posting your expertise, your background, every Friday, I like to throw out a dad joke, just kind of mix it up a little bit. But just show you're human, show that you're relatable and engaging and that you are capable and that you're excited to grow into your next adventure. And that's why I put a lot of emphasis on personal branding, as well as obviously taking your LinkedIn profile and going from a skeleton LinkedIn profile into a very detailed, you know, here, this is, you know, my headline. This is my picture. I use my open banner space to say, hey, my name is Allie Patterson, formerly Allie Sheely. I recently got married. And so that is your marketing space, is that big space right above your LinkedIn on the banner. And then you take your positions that you've had. You don't put the job description. You put quantifiable results of what you've done and why you're awesome. And this is why, you know, this is what you're looking for. This is why you're awesome and why they should hire you. And that separates you from the rest of the people who are looking for the exact same position.
I love it. So first, congratulations on your recent marriage. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. As you talk about personal branding and LinkedIn, I think there's so much to dive into, and we're going to try and streamline as much as we can. But for those who are listening saying, I get it, I really don't want to do this, but I understand because everybody and their brother is saying, you got a personal brand, you got to get out there, you got to engage with content, you got to make content, you got to do all, and they're overwhelmed. They're like, I don't even know where to start. How are you coming up with what you're posting about?
So you really think about your struggles of what you've gone through as a job seeker. And on the other side, on the flip side, in talent acquisition, well, how do you overcome those struggles? And so I've been a talent acquisition talent acquisition professional on a very global scale down to a very small, you know, organization. And so with that, you learn a lot of things along the way, and I like to share those experiences. And so if I'm scrolling through my LinkedIn and I see a topic that inspires me, I'm going to make a video about it. I don't use their posts, but I just use it as inspiration, which is the post idea, and just make a video or post saying, hey, I saw this online, want to elaborate. And this is how you can improve your job seeking process and sharing really your expertise to help job seekers elevate, you know, from here all the way up to here with the personal branding.
Yep. I think you're dead on with your personal experience. So if you think about it, every single day is a new episode.
It is.
In essence, like your life is a new episode every single day. Something great happened. Maybe something challenging happened. Maybe something inspirational happened. Whatever it is, it's a new episode.
Absolutely.
And that is gold. It's content gold to be able to share with folks online who are probably going through the exact same thing in their own world and not necessarily being able to, or not necessarily wanting to verbalize it, but it will resonate with them. Very similar to when the child in class raises their hand when the teacher says, who has questions? And the one child's brave enough to raise their hand, but he just answered 16 other kids' questions because they didn't raise their hand, but they had the same question. So absolutely. The next piece that I know is going through people's minds is, okay, Allie, you've been on the market for 3 months yourself. You know, you're leading the way by posting content. You're building your brand. How is it helping you? What would you say to that?
I think it's helped because, you know, networking again is huge and people are able to relate to you. So if you post relatable content that is engaging, that's conversational, something that they can relate to you, whether it's in the HR space, organizations, or you have the job seekers, you make it cohesive to where it resonates to one or both. And you really speak to the challenges, the way we can improve things and how with, you know, with my expertise and or everyone else's expertise, how we can make it better. And that really separates you from the rest of the crowd because there's so many amazing talent in this current job market. It's definitely an employer's market, right? And so you want to make sure that you set yourself apart. So how do you set yourself? Personal branding. Amazing talented individuals are applying for the exact same positions you are. And so you really, really have to stand out. And that doesn't go just, you know, with personal branding, but that also goes into the resume as well.
So I'm going to take it a step further. Number one, I found you because of your personal branding.
Yeah.
So I saw, hey, here's this woman who's in transition. She's a talent acquisition professional. And daily, she's just showing up daily. She's commenting on other people's posts. She's putting out high value add content to help others in a similar position. And she's making a name for herself. And that's why I reached out to you to have you on the show, because I want people to say, like, look, I didn't know Allie. I saw Allie's content and I thought, you know what? Good on her. Not only is she positioning herself as an expert, so when she does interview, it's supported by a brand, but she's helping other people in the meantime try to do something very similar. The second thing is that there's a stat, and I can't remember if it's 70%, 76%. It's somewhere between 70 and 80% of the time. There was a stat that says the very first thing somebody does before they decide if they're going to interview somebody is they go and check out their the person's LinkedIn profile.
Oh, 100%.
And what I want to say about your LinkedIn profile, and please take this to heart, that is a prime piece of real estate. There is so much opportunity to present yourself the way you want to be represented versus people having to guess, number one, what do you do? Number two, what type of person is this? And number three, where's the credibility? But if you just take some time and you seek out professional help that can help you very quickly transform your profile, you talked about the banner, you talked about the picture, you talked about the headline, the about section, testimonials, your work section, you know, and this should be super consistent with your resume. But as Allie said, super heavy on outcomes that you've delivered as a result of the responsibilities you've held. Mm-hmm. But really writing it from the vantage point of who do you help? Who do you serve? I help these types of executives to do X by doing Y, mm-hmm. right? Or I help this industry to do this by doing this. And then that all becomes... it's like your brand is being tied all together because now, as Allie mentioned in her number three strategy, outreach, mm-hmm. when you go to outreach, everything's consistent. Hey, I help financial, I help chief financial officers to do this by doing this. I've done it for 13 years across three different industries. As a matter of fact, my reference is so-and-so, and I see that you know him. I just applied for your XYZ job. I see where you might need help. Would welcome a conversation. Well, guess what? They go to check out your LinkedIn profile and it's all consistent with what you just said.
Exactly.
Who do you think is going to stand out amongst the masses? That person or the person who sent in a resume and then drank another cup of coffee and went and banged out 50 more applications?
You know, it's so easy to become part of the easy apply group or the easy apply gang, as they say, right? And so it takes a little bit longer to apply for, you know, to go through the longer, especially workday applications, takes a little bit longer. Patience. Some people like to do the easy apply and just saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for, you know, it's almost a spray and pray, looking for a position. And oftentimes those candidates don't even realize they're one of like 100, 300 plus people who are applying for the exact same position. And the recruiter has to go through each and every single one versus if you apply through, you know, not only just, you know, that, but also through their company organization. And then you reach out to the recruiter saying, hey, I just applied for this position. I'm really excited. If you're not the recruiter for this position, can you please direct me to the recruiter who is in charge of that? And so I can continue forward, you know, and you go from there. And you make it short and sweet and you don't, you know, you don't blabber, but you just reach out, make that connection. And the biggest takeaway is learning your job market, learning if you target, say, the top 15 organizations you want to work for, right? And you're constantly looking through their jobs that they have listed, whether it be on Glassdoor, you have LinkedIn, you have, you have Indeed. I don't know anyone that uses Recruiter or Monster anymore. It's not very relevant anymore, but you look for the positions and then you connect with the people who have those positions and you network with those folks and you build that rapport. You comment on company posts, you comment on their posts, and then they're able to vouch for you saying, hey, this is someone who's built credibility with me. This is why we should hire them. Or at least have that conversation with them, just, you know, a quick 30-minute call to see what they're about. And if it works, great. If not, well, you just learn a little bit more about each other and your networking and building that relationship for potentially future openings that they may not have now, but they will reach out to you first thing when they have those positions open.
Yep. And the idea here is that it's not an either or situation. We're not saying don't apply online at all. We're saying if you apply online, here's the other pieces that you should be doing to increase the opportunity and the chances of becoming visible so that you can at least have the opportunity to demonstrate your skill set. Right?
Absolutely.
And the value that you present to an organization. How is your background as a talent acquisition professional influenced the way you're searching for jobs?
Well, absolutely. So I have a very different background from graphic design to talent acquisition and creative marketing. So you blend it all into 6 years of expertise. And it really shows. So I have a very strong expertise in both talent acquisition and marketing, which really enables me to tailor the strategies to fit any industry. I'm able to find I'm able to talk to the organization and find out what the story is and tell in storytelling form to reach every candidate, regardless of the sector, to why they should relate, or if they can relate, to why this position may be best for them. It's all about storytelling and building that brand, that vision, that trust, building the rapport. And I also personalize outreach solutions to address specific challenges and improve talent processes, resonating with both hiring managers across all sectors. You're going to have one job description, three different hiring managers, and they're all going to want something different. So really honing in on that and finding out what they're looking for is really key to find the top talent.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, because I asked you how has being a TA pro yourself influenced your own job search strategy, I think what I took away from you is two things. One, your ability to storytell. Yeah. So you're not just a resume. You're actually bringing your experience to life.
Absolutely.
But you're relating it very specifically to the pain points that an organization is possibly facing and positioning yourself as a solution provider against those pains versus the fact that you have 6 years of recruiting experience. Is that fairly accurate?
Absolutely. So yeah, there are obstacles in the job search for seasoned professionals as well as people who are hoping to break into the recruitment industry.
Yep. And so what obstacles, if we can have a real conversation, what obstacles are you running into the last couple months?
Okay, that's a very fair question. So 2024 is a lot different from 2021, 2008. I was to say back in 2021, talent acquisition professionals, we were very, very much, you know, we were very much needed, and companies, they couldn't get enough of us because hiring was so important and there was a high drive of quality folks that they wanted to hire, but they needed the right expertise to get them, you know, hire, train, retain the first time without having high turnover. And so right now, I would say the top three things are, you know, the competition, the lengthy process, as well as the misunderstanding of the TA strategic value that we bring to the organization. And so I'll start with, you know, the competition is we have amazingly talented individuals such as ourselves and other people. So high volume of applicants, you know, trying to make themselves stand out. And so I'm still tweaking, but as a talent acquisition professional, I'm still learning because this job market is completely different from what I've ever worked in. And so I overcome this by tailoring each approach to showcasing my unique value to what I bring to the organization and why they should hire me. And then you have the lengthy process. You have hiring managers, again, three, you know, same job description, three different hiring managers. They're going to have something completely different and they're all going to want something different. And sometimes they have an idea what they want, but they really don't know. And so hiring timelines, they could be long. But I stay proactive with follow-ups and by exploring multiple opportunities across several different industries. So I'm not limiting myself just to the med device industry. I'm open to much more industries that, you know, relate because we are a people business at the end of it, right? And you can carry the skills over. Industry can be taught, but as long as you have the people skill, the ability to connect, build the rapport, and bring great talent that aligns with the company culture long-term, that is the goal. Again, hire, train, retain. And then, you know, following that is the misunderstanding of the TA's strategic value. organizations, they see talent acquisition professionals as transactional versus we are very relational. And so I overcome this by clearly demonstrating how strategic talent acquisition drives growth and retention across all sectors.
100%. And so, again, there's so much here to unpack.
Absolutely.
You know, the competition piece, what I was thinking about when you were saying that is we talked about how some jobs can have 500 applications within 24 hours.
Correct.
What people don't realize is, sure, 80% of those are not qualified. They're not even remotely close to that job. Mm-hmm. But it's the volume that sucks up somebody's time internally that has to sip through. Mm-hmm. So naturally, even if you are the most qualified person, but you're one of 500, somebody has to scan through, the odds of being found go way down, right? It's not 10, it's not 50, we're talking 500. I just talked to somebody on the phone, a very good relationship I have in the industry, and she was hiring for a recruiter on her team. 750 applications within 24 hours, within 48 hours, had multiple referrals, and people who reached out to her directly. You know what she told me? There was no opportunity to get through all those people. Mm-hmm. I ended up staying very focused on who was referred to me directly and who took the time to reach out to me directly.
Yes.
Because one, it made her life easier. Two, those people came with some sort of trusted credibility. And three, if they reached out to her directly, but they didn't have trust credibility, they at least found a very quick way to stand out and gain her attention versus having to go through her inbox and find one in a needle of a haystack, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The strategic value piece that you said, man, this business is a roller coaster with hiring TA teams and letting TA teams go. And there's way too much of transactional philosophy mindset out there as far as what TA teams do.
Correct.
They forget about how important you talk about personal branding. How about talent branding? What is your organization's mission, vision, values? Sure, fine, your employer brand. But what about the talent brand? What type of DNA, culturally, DNA, talent DNA, what are you trying to attract? And how are you demonstrating that through people, not through a corporate cookie cutter statement that everybody does, right?
Right.
But then, so it's talent branding, retention strategies, pipelining candidates, strategic planning as far as how you're going to build out your organization. So many things that I think go overlooked when people start to buckle down and tighten their belts and not necessarily see the value talent acquisition could present to the organization versus we've got 42 recs you got to fill for us tomorrow, right? So, I feel for you because there's a lot of great people out there, but you're doing everything right. Let's talk about the wins. As a result of your personal branding, as a result of customizing your outreach, mm-hmm. What are some of the things that come to mind that have happened recently that you think that you can tie back to you taking the time to do that?
Absolutely. It only takes a moment to help someone to, you know, review their resume or reach out to an organization saying, hey, I see you're struggling with XYZ. Even reaching out to the VP of HR, really building those relationships, not just sending a blind cold call or a message saying, hey, let's hop on a call, or I applied for this position, XYZ position. The worst thing you can do is saying, hey, here's my resume, find me a job. Do not do that. I cannot emphasize that enough. Really have to build that rapport. And so I've been able to help organizations of various industries to attract and retain top talent by developing strong recruitment processes and create employer branding. And that's what it comes down to is employer branding, right? You are able to tell the story of the company's mission, the why, the how, and how that resonates with candidates long term so they're able to relate to that and want to work for the organization, the here and the why and the how. And so my approach, you know, ensures, you know, teams are a great cultural fit and they're set up for long-term success, no matter the industry. So hire, train, retain is what I love to do. And so I let, you know, connecting talent with passion, that is the biggest thing.
So that sounds like so we always talk about employer value propositions.
Right.
Right? What is so compelling, so differentiating, so unique that's going to stop somebody dead in their tracks and have them say, it's kind of a no-brainer, at least have an exploratory conversation with this company or this person, right? Then we talk about a candidate value proposition, the exact same thing, but in the candidate's perspective, the hire, train, retain almost sounds like it's part of your candidate value proposition. So if you and I were traveling down four floors in an elevator and you have that much time to tell me what value do you represent to an organization, what would you say?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. And so I'm very high energy. I'm tenacious. I'm very driven. And I like to connect individuals into positions aligned with their passions. And that's what separates me from the rest. I'm not transactional. I am relational. And again, tying the storytelling into the company's mission, their values, their drive, their culture, and making sure it resonates, making sure it's a great fit. Because if it's not a great fit, it's not going to be a long-term hire. You want to hire, you know, the right time, the first time. And that's not always going to happen. But if you have the ability to find that right person, hone in and have those, I like the hunting part of looking for a candidate. That's part of the drive. I call myself a talent, you know, very high-driven talent huntress, if you look at my LinkedIn, right? I love what I do. The hunt is part of the excitement. And I speak to different individuals multiple times throughout the day in different positions when I am employed. And it's interesting listening to every individual's story, and you learn more and more about who they are. They're beyond, it's not just a resume, there is an individual. And if you can say, hey, so what are you looking at, you know, in your next position that you're missing your current position, and able to tie that up into the next position that you're trying to hire for. And if it's a great fit, great. If not, well, hey, well, I'll keep you in mind for positions we may not actually have open now, but in the near future. I can't even tell you how many people I've hired that the position wasn't quite right for them at that moment. But 3-4 months later, I say, hey, where are you at with your job search? Are you happy? How can I help? I have a great position. I think it would be a great opportunity for you. Here's the job description. You know, read it over and get back to me, and we'll see if it's a great fit. And I'm moving forward the hiring manager because I've already vetted them. Mm-hmm. And that is huge.
Well, this is awesome. What final words do you have for those who are job seeking and trying to fight the good fight just like you are as we stand today?
Well, absolutely. No, that's a great question. I appreciate you asking this. So this job industry, it's very, very frustrating. It's hard. And rejections, you know, come through multiple times a day. And the fact that we're even getting rejections means that the employees, or rather the recruiters, are going through and dispositioning us saying, hey, we appreciate you. You bring a lot to offer, but you aren't the right candidate this time. Most companies right now have such high volume that they're not able to respond to the lengthy or the high volume applicants that are applying for the positions. And so biggest thing is keep pushing forward, right? And so the journey is challenging, but there are two things that you have to be open to is adaptability and being open to all positions. Something you may not have considered may become your next opportunity that you absolutely love. And then, you know, do more things that make you forget to check your phone. And what I mean by that is, you know, do gardening, go hiking, go outside. If you look at my LinkedIn posts, I'm very big in self-care and family, you know, care. And that includes sunshine therapy. And so get out, get active, whether it be, you know, just hiking or going to church or crafting or just even binge watching on Netflix or building Lego sets, whatever, you know, helps you, you know, reading a book. You can't stay at the computer the entire time, right? You have to be able to step away, do gym time, do something, just be active, something that takes this. You can't just keep going, you know, pushing with the applications because you're going to hit a burnout point and it's going to just drive you bonkers and it's not going to be a good thing. And so self-care, family care, go hand in hand, you know, sunshine therapy. Don't stay at the computer all day, gym time, I've already touched on, but really is just step away and keep your sanity to avoid burnout while looking for new roles. And so if you're interested in connecting with me or exploring how I can help support you, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn under Allie Patterson.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on very much and sharing your personal experience and professional experience for that matter.
Thank you.
And what we'll do in the show notes is make sure to put a link to your LinkedIn profile so folks can feel free to reach out. And then for anyone who's looking for a talented talent acquisition professional to join perhaps a growing organization where you can make a significant impact, they'll be able to reach you there as well.
That's me.
But thanks so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Ali. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the MedTech Talent Lab podcast. For more content-rich episodes, log on to theanthonymichaelgroup.com or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.